So why should we live in a church community? Well, when I consider the word community, I kind of think about, well, the season that we just went through and in the holidays, right? Going out to parties, social events, and everything that my introverts in the room are still trying to recover from. But the extroverts didn't think it was enough, and they're planning just because get-togethers, right? But this isn't an introvert or an extrovert thing. As Jared has already reminded us in John chapter 1, this is all about Jesus and his way of life for us. Let's consider Paul's words to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, beginning in verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individual members of it."
Yeah, so right here at the outset, let's just notice a quick couple things about how God has designed the body of Christ, the church community, right? First thing, right? Church community is God's design. Okay, God designed this thing to be followers of Christ, to be lived out in a church community, and he gives this analogy of a body. Many of us have heard this before. So that means when you were remade in Christ, when you gave your life to Christ, baptized into his name, you were made part of, now, the body of Christ, and this is a great blessing, right? This means you went from wherever you were in the world, wherever you were going, and he puts you now in a new family. In fact, some verses say, like, you know, we were lonely, and you put me in a family, and what a great blessing. I mean, some of my greatest friends, greatest community has come through the body of Christ. It's a great thing. You know, it's kind of like this. When you become a Christian, you get on the team. My son started biking for one of the high school mountain bike teams here this last year. And when you get on that team, right, you get a jersey, you make new friends, you learn the rhythms of how that team works together, you celebrate victory and losses together, but everybody's on the team and everybody has a part to play. And similarly, when you become a believer in Jesus, you're now on God's team, you're in his family, and he has a role for you to play in this body, in this community of Christ. Parts of the body have different functions, but each part is needed so that this community functions in a way that the gospel goes forward and grows in each one of our hearts. You know, it'd be pretty weird to be a body part not connected to a body. I mean, think about that for a second. I've seen this happen one time in a climbing accident, and there was a body part that got disconnected. That's a weird situation, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I went dark there, Sean. Yeah.
Okay.
I have pictures if you'd like to see.
Yeah. That just sounds like EMT training. Yeah, yeah. I've seen those books, and no thank you. That's not good.
Yeah.
Well, another cool thing in Scripture, and here's something that we want you to see, is that it is assumed in Scripture that as a follower of Jesus, you are a part of a church community. You are part of the body of Christ. So not that disconnected thing that we just talked about. That seems weird. The Bible speaks as us as having been adopted into God's family. Some of us are sitting here like, I really want to be a part. I really want to belong. I want to feel like I'm part of a family. Well, you can. That's being plugged into the church body, into the church community, under the grace of the gospel. Now, also, when we see in Scripture, Paul, in his letters, he's writing to communities. We see this over and over, and so it is assumed that we get to be part. Now, as we get into this morning, if you're not a part of a church family, if you're our guest this morning, you need to find one. You need to plug in. It can be here. And we would love for you to join us here, but it can be also in another Bible-believing, teaching church here in the Valley. We would love to get you connected here. And if here's not the place for you, we would also love to get you connected some other place. But if you are a follower of a Christ this morning, you are made to be in a church community.
I mean, this is God's design of how he's going to grow you, how you get to experience the gospel. And here's the other thing Paul told us in these verses just at the outset here. Everybody's welcome, right? Jew or Gentile, all races, all backgrounds are being welcomed into this new community that Christ is creating. We're being remade in the image of Christ. That means we're coming from some other place, maybe even our sinful backgrounds and different ways of thinking, but we're being remade now and invited into God's family and learning how to live by God's ways in this community of the church.
So as we think about the community of the church as the body of Christ, we're going to see that the body supports itself in many ways. So I'm going to put an image up here on the screen. Let's see if it goes up here. There we go. Have you guys ever seen one of these stickers? So I used to work in a warehouse, and I would load trucks, and I would load up pallets and put them on, shipments ready. And oftentimes, I would come across a box that had this sticker on it. And this sticker is telling anyone who's going to approach this box, you better grab a friend. I'm awkward. I'm heavy. And you're going to hurt yourself if you try to do this by yourself. Now, my wife likes to call me out in certain things when I like to move things. And I try to approach things on my own. And I'll admit, there are some times I went beast mode. And I attempted to move the box by myself. And I'd like to also say, as I'm sitting here, I'm very strong. And I was successful every time. And maybe I did. Maybe I did get the box moved. But it usually cost me in pain, in sweat, and in time, as it took me longer to move this box than if I had followed the helpful warning the sticker provided. Church, what I want you to see this morning with this example is that our life, similar to approaching this box, can be heavy. Our lives, yeah, they can be awkward. And this life can hurt you if you try to do this thing by yourself. And the work that God has even called us to as we operate in church community together, that work can be difficult too. Church, we need community. We need each other. Community and each other is God's good gift to us. Hey, it's his idea. Scripture is telling us and showing us in life, we have a Team Lift sticker. Are you sitting there today feeling like you could use some support? The body of Christ supports itself, and we've seen it time and time again.
Okay, so that's God's design for the church, right? That we'd be in this new family together, and we'd support ourselves and support each other in different ways as we're growing in Christ together and experience the gospel from one another tangibly. So let's work at this now. We're going to look at three things here. How does the body of Christ, okay, the community of the church, help us live in light of the gospel? Okay, so three things here. First one is this. The church community helps us apply gospel light to our sin. Okay, we're going to start on the negative first. We're going to get more light here as we go. Church community helps us apply gospel light to our sin. So this is how the Bible describes this. Like sometimes we don't even understand our own sin. Sometimes it's really even hard to know when you are sinning. In fact, part of the process of becoming a Christian is learning what is the world's ways and what are God's ways and how we're missing God's ways. And we need other believers to help us grow in that and help us to understand, who also have the Spirit of God to help us see and apply the light of the gospel to our sin. So the Bible teaches us here that the church community, the body of Christ, can help us see our sin. Here's what Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression or sin, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, so this is what it's saying. As a community, Part of what God does with us, part of how he puts the light of the gospel into our light or into our life, is he gently points out sin in our life through other believers, with the goal being restoration and growth of those of us that have been caught in sin. Now, it says those who are spiritual. That's not saying there's like a spiritual hierarchy and some of us are better than others, because the Bible says all of us sin. It's just saying those of you that are working with God now and the Holy Spirit is in you, and you begin to see friends and family going the wrong way in this community, that you gently pointed out with the goal of restoration. It's kind of like this. I like to build things. In fact, I was working on a little project in the yard yesterday with my dad. And occasionally, if you use a hammer long enough, what happens? You're going to smack your finger.
Oh, I was going to say you're successful every time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it hurts so bad. It makes me want to say things that other people in the community would have to call me out for. But what you're doing in the body of Christ is like, if you hit your hand with a hammer, the other hand is saying to this hand, hey man, like that didn't feel very good. We need to change this, right? And this is what we're doing in the body of Christ, that as we see part of our body sin, we're calling it out, saying that's not the way we should go. In fact, I tend to think we think too singularly about our sin. We think it's very personal and it's very particular, but in actuality, all of our sins actually affect this whole community at varying levels, right? And as sin comes out, you begin to see how it has affected not only yourself and maybe somebody directly involved, but it bleeds out and it hurts everybody in the community. So really, our sin is an offense in the community in some ways. And so the community also helps us see our sin and apply gospel forgiveness so that we walk in the right direction. In fact, when I was in college, I remember a time a friend caught me doing some things I shouldn't be doing, some dumb sin, and he carefully selected a time to say, hey, Jared, we need to talk, right? And he said, here's what I see you doing. And I know, based on your commitment to Jesus and the things that I see you say, right, this doesn't align. This is sin, and you need to get it right. And initially, I was a little offended, right? But he was right. And over time, he walked with me, and I began to get that thing right in my life. And so let's be a community, Galatians, as Paul's telling us in Galatians, let's be a community, and let the Spirit of God work through each one of us to help us fight our sin.
Yeah, Galatians 1 there says, you should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. What upsets me as I look toward this is I don't see a checklist. I don't see a timeline. I don't see something, well, let's do step one, and then do step two, and now we're all good. Restoration isn't a one-and-done type thing. Restoration is an ongoing process, one that while you live in community with one another, it's a constant check-in. It's doing life together type of thing. I love this example that Jared just gave. This is a friend that knew him and knew what his commitment to Christ was, and it took time. It took a check-in. It took opportunities to do. We want to be slow as we deal with sin. We want to give time for God to work and the Spirit to bring about restoration. There's no timeline attached to that. But working with God's Spirit as he applies grace to our life. Church, I'm sure that if you examine your life in the church, I'm sure many of us have had moments where someone has seen you, me, point or heading down a road that you shouldn't walk down and has pointed out your sin. And I don't know if you're like me, but I really don't like that. I don't like being called out. It doesn't feel good. So like Jared said, you might be initially offended. We don't enjoy having our sin pointed out, or maybe, just maybe, somebody has done it really badly in the past. Somebody's pointed out something and just really given it to you, and that's not the way it should be. And so we're really wary of the next time that sin is called out, or we have the tendency to strike back, right? What about the speck in your eye? But then, hopefully, there's a feeling of gratitude when you realize that your friend, this person, this other believer in the body, cares enough about you to call out something that's a problem and say, I'm willing to walk with you out of this path that you're on. Now, I know I've been really grateful, even though I'm maybe a little resistant to it at first. I'm really grateful that when people stand up and stand there for me that way.
It's kind of a daily occurrence with Sean. We have to call out. I'm just kidding.
You know, thanks for patience and grace. Yeah. That's why the timeline thing really is frustrating. Yeah, thanks, man.
But the Bible also wants us to do some preventative maintenance. We talked about this in the dark last week. Wants us to do some preventative maintenance with each other as in the community. And that is now, this is not a brother calling it out, but this is me actively confessing sin to trusted brothers and sisters in the congregation. This is what James 5:16 says. Confess your sin to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay, so in James, the context here is that he's saying like the prayer of faith will bring healing both physically at times when people are sick, but also spiritually. So again, the goal in confessing our sins to one another is that actually we find healing in the gospel. And this is how, this is what we're doing here. We're bringing our sin to light. Like we say this all the time in our staff meetings, like sin grows in the darkness. If you keep it in the dark, it gets worse and worse and worse, and eventually God will bring it to the light. But this preventive maintenance says, let's bring the light to it right now, right? And let's kill this thing before it grows. And so I just encourage you, right? If you're in this church, you need to have a couple trusted Christian people that you're in community with that you can regularly confess sin to. I have three or four people in my life like that. I can tell them anything. And then what you see is you get to practically experience the love of Christ, the grace of Christ extended to you through another believer. Right? They have the Spirit of Christ in them. You confess to them. They offer you grace and forgiveness. We pray about it, and there is great healing. It's a very practical way to experience God's love towards us through another believer.
So an example of this is our staff on the first Tuesday of every month, and our elder team as well, we fill out an accountability sheet. Now, I promise, I know this has come up in sermons before. I promise we don't just do this for a sermon illustration. But we fill out this form. And then our staff, as they fill out that form and they check in with where they are and where I am, we share with the group what's going on in our life. And as we share, we have the opportunity to hold each other accountable. We, like Jared just said, we constantly tell the staff that our sin grows in the dark. And when the passage is telling us that this problem of sin, unfortunately, it's an ongoing one. It's one that we need community to come alongside with us and to help us by us confessing, but also by people calling it out in us. And we can walk with each other toward restoration. You have the power to stop potential sin. I know I think twice with that form, knowing that I have to fill that form out and people are going to check me on it. I know I'm going to think twice about doing some of the dumb things that I can get caught up in because I know somebody's going to work and hold me accountable. But here's the really cool thing about the body of Christ. You get to experience the presence of Christ loving you through somebody else. And you get to be that somebody else who gets to share Christ's love with that person. It's an amazing feeling. When you do this work, James is saying that you're on the right track to following Jesus. Paul also reminds us in that passage in Galatians 6:2, that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So you guys, you remember that team lift sticker? We're able to handle the hard and the awkward things as we live our lives in the light of church community.
Yes, a community helps us experience the light of the gospel as we extend forgiveness and grace to each other in our sin. And then here's our second thing. Light of the community helps us also persevere in faith. Okay, so this comes from Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, look, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works and not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Okay, so part of what the church community does is it encourages us to keep going in the faith, right? Like, keep going, persevere, don't give up. Here's what Jesus said. Let's keep going. Let's keep believing what he has told us. In fact, the biggest blessing in my life is to have other believers encouraging me when I don't feel like keeping, like I don't feel like to continue, right? In fact, many weeks I've come to Sean and we've talked about things that are going on in our hearts and minds, and I talk about the doubts in my head. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I sound like Stuart Smalley. But gosh darn it, yeah. People like me, yeah. That's an old one. I'm sorry. But many weeks I come to Sean and I tell him about the doubts in my head. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm good enough. Right? Like, Satan wants us to quit. He wants us to give up. He puts a lot of thoughts in our heads. He casts a lot of darkness in our hearts. And yet when we get with that brother or sister and they can say, no, that's not true. Here's what God has. Here's what God's called you to. Here's how God's gifted you. Right? That brings light to our minds. And I'm so thankful for those that speak that life and light into my heart through the gospel, encourage me to keep going.
You even had that this morning. I woke up to a text from somebody on our staff just saying, hey, I know I'm praying for you and just for what you're getting ready to do in preaching this morning. It's such an encouragement. And I've had many moments over the years similar to what Jared just highlighted where I've gone to my brothers, especially Jared and Tono, with doubts and frustrations. And the encouragement is immediate. It's there. And it's quite a relief. You know, that we sit up here and it looks like we may have everything together, but I've used the example of being a duck on a pond. I may look calm up top, but underneath those feet are going a mile a minute. And it's a hard thing. And we go home and we have doubts and fears and worries that am I doing enough? Am I being a pastor? And when you have a brother who comes and speaks to you that way and says, and speaks into your life, you have the opportunity to keep going and walk away encouraged. But when you get to do that for somebody else, you get to walk away encouraged too. This week I sat with somebody who was struggling with doubts, and I had the opportunity to encourage them and for them to keep going. And I got a text later just saying, man, thank you. Thank you for encouraging me. And we all have the chance to do this. Every Sunday, we stand up and we say, church, who do you need to encourage today? We get to do this every Sunday. This is part of why we gather together in this space. So who do you need to encourage to persevere in the faith today? It's all right. You can take a look around and go find them right after the service. But if you need to, make a point to engage with somebody and encourage them in the faith. And I promise you'll be encouraged too.
Yeah, again, it's a great thing to have brothers and sisters remind us of the promises of God, what God's doing in us, and the hope that we have in Christ when life gets really dark. Also, part of this persevering and gathering together, you know, there the writers of Hebrews said that the community is meant to stir us up to grow into the likeness of Christ, like to not only make it, but actually grow into a better believer in Jesus. They motivate us to live for Jesus in new ways. Some of the things I've been most excited about when I go, like when I've gone to Finland and I work with my friends there, they're planting churches and they're training pastors in the seminary there, is that they encourage me to grow in Christ, right? Like, I see their lives, I see what they're excited about. We sit down together, we dream together, we commiserate over the things that we face. We think through what God has said in the gospel and begin to apply it differently in our hearts. And I think all of us walk away fired up to do great things for Jesus. Like, this is what the community does for us. Not only does it say, keep going because God is with you, it also says, let's do some great things for Jesus, right? Let's grow. In fact, I want to see you grow in your love for Jesus and the way you live out what he has called us to do. And it's so motivating. Just sat with a member of the church this week, actually, for coffee, and we kind of just dreamed together, like, what would it look like to do this, that, and the other in the church? Like that'd be really cool, and I think it would help people grow. And I'm motivated to get those things done.
Now, over the years, as we visited Guatemala, and just, you know, shameless plug, hey, we're having a meeting next week. You want to come be a part of that. But as we visited Guatemala, Tono and I were able to build a relationship, and he'd frequently pull me aside and seek advice. at how can we do this? How can we grow in the church? And it's kind of eerie, but our lives have been very similar. I stepped out of youth ministry and walked into music ministry. He was in youth ministry when I met him, and we had a moment in his house, and he's like, I feel like I should move to music ministry. It got to the place of one of my daughters broke her arm, and then 2 months later, one of his daughter broke her arm in the same place and had to have the same surgery. And he said, hey, could you just not do some of these things moving forward? But as he would encourage me, I would encourage him. And we would often dream what it would look like to serve together. We often prayed, God, would you just somehow move Guatemala and Utah geographically closer together? And look what we get to do now. We get to live in the same place and serve together every day. And this is us as a result, that we're growing in our faith together, growing as we serve together, and we've had that opportunity. It's been such a blessing.
So church community helps supply the light of the gospel so that we'll persevere and also grow in Christ. Now, last thing here, I want to look at how the gospel community gives light of the gospel to our lives, is that the church community brings light into our lives as we support one another. Okay, I want to call us back to a verse we had there at the beginning, 1 Corinthians 12:26. At the end it says, if one member suffers, so one member of the body of Christ, then all suffer together. Okay? If one member is honored, then all rejoice together. Okay, I think you hear the life that it's talking about there, that we walk with each other in light of the gospel. We support those that are hurting, and we rejoice with those that are doing really great. If one of us faces suffering, we do it together. You know, I was visiting several members of our church in the hospital this week. We had a couple major surgeries, a couple kind of emergency hospital stays. You know what the greatest thing was when I went to visit these people? Not only were they doing great and God was being really graceful, there was other people from our church there in the hospital room when I got there. That's what it means to suffer together. In fact, almost every time I go visit somebody in the hospital from this church, there's other people from our church there. I mean, it's crazy. So I just want to say, thank you for doing this really well. Yeah. We do this really well as Risen Life Church. We walk with people that are hurting, and we encourage them to keep going. We suffer with those that are, but let's continue to be a church that suffers well with people. But let's continue to be a church that suffers well with people, right? When you're suffering, there's nothing like having a brother in Christ that says, I'm with you, right? Sometimes there's nothing they can do, right? We pray with people, and we just sit with them and say, we're with you, right? God's got you. We're going to walk through this, and we're going to keep going.
But I'm glad that that verse has two parts.
That's right.
Because not all of us are in a season of suffering. For some of us, things are going really good, and we need to celebrate that as a community. It says, if one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's an amazing thing. And so we get to rejoice. And so as Jared and I were thinking about this, what are some examples of the church rejoicing together? And this thing came to mind. Back in the early 90s, you know, I've been at this church since 1992. And back in the 90s when the movie Dumb and Dumber came out, this is going to make sense. It's okay. It's going to be a thing. But we had...
This is the greatest honor we've ever had.
It's one of the greatest honors. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
A lot of that movie was filmed here in Utah. And we had a member of our church congregation who was an actor. And so he took time, I guess applied. I don't know how he got in this movie, but he's in the movie. And so when the movie came out, we're watching the scene and here's some of the bad guys walking in the airport. And right behind him is Jim Woodson. I'm like, I know that guy. And so he's in there for half a second. But let me tell you, every time I saw that movie and I had a friend, I would pause that scene and I would rejoice with my brother who got a movie part in Dumb and Dumber, which I thought was at the time one of the greatest movies. And he was there.
Oh, still is, Sean.
And we will now begin to quote the movie.
That's right. Yeah. This is the greatest honor our church has ever had.
Right.
So let's rejoice in that. Actually,
we rejoiced quite a bit
in
Jared's office as we were thinking through this.
Actually, we've had a greater honor, Sean.
Oh, okay.
I
think we have.
I was in a Steve Green video as a kid. It's a video on Romans 12:21, how to overcome evil with good. You can look it up on YouTube. But this is a greater honor. There I am in my pink and purple shirt with my spiked hair mullet.
Just look at that hair.
If there's something to rejoice about, it's that photo right there. Right.
He was the bully in the video.
I was the bully in the video, actually.
Don't let him.
And then I came to Jesus. This is me throwing a kid's lunch across the room. So if you want to see the full clip of that and rejoice in the honor that mm-hmm. that was, mm-hmm. go look up Steve Green, How to Overcome Evil with Good.
We can post the link for you. It's real easy to find.
No, but I think we sometimes neglect this, right? We often kind of get sidetracked in the suffering because the suffering's deep and hard. And it is, and we should walk with one another. But let's rejoice in the good things, too. Yeah. Right? Some of us are experiencing just great times in our life, great blessing. God is doing great things. Let's rejoice together, right? And it takes a humble heart. In fact, you got to grow in Jesus to be able to rejoice with somebody else who's having a great time when your life is kind of not in the best place. That's what God calls us to do in our community, both to suffer with those that suffer, but rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And we've had great things in our church. I mean, these things are to rejoice about. Like, we rejoice with Sean becoming an elder. Like, that's a great honor and a great calling, and it's a great thing. We ordained Phil Hers to be a minister of the gospel. That's a great thing to celebrate as a community. You know, I don't know if many of you know this, but our own Mr. Ben Sutton, our college pastor, he just finished his PhD this year.
Hey.
Like, that's a great honor.
The best part about that is as they handed him his PhD, they also handed him a bonus master's degree.
They just said, here you go.
Yeah, here's another
degree. You did so well.
That's amazing. That's like winning the academic lottery.
Awesome. It is. They didn't give me one. I didn't do as well as them.
Maybe you should call them.
I know. And then we got people like Rania Tillman and Dennis Crenshaw and Ryan Duhon, people that are working to serve homeless in our city and doing such an amazing thing. That is such an honorable thing before Jesus, and we should rejoice mm-hmm. in what they're doing, right? Rejoice in it. It's good. We have people serving around the world, and God is providing, and he is blessing, and all of that, the Bible says, we bring light of the gospel to it when we celebrate what God is doing in those people.
And have you ever noticed that when you're rejoicing, when you've had one of those moments, somebody comes to you and you get to rejoice with them, generally the phrase that we get to say is, praise God. God did this for you. We get to celebrate those victories together, and that celebrating, that rejoicing, turns us to worship of God. This means that as we gather each week, we get to celebrate all that God is doing. There's a whole lot of stories that are happening across this room about what God is doing in your life. And when we see God for who he is, our response to him is worship. When we worship together, we get to encourage those who are hurting. We go to God and we bring others with us. So this year, let's worship God together. Let's commit to meet and encourage each other as we celebrate all that God is doing in our lives and in the life of our church.
Yeah, as we come to a conclusion here, I want to read us one verse from Ecclesiastes, and Ben, you can come on up. And this is general wisdom, right? This is even under the sun wisdom. But it says this in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. You think of the lifting together, right? For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Right, this is a general principle of wisdom, that living in community and holding up each other is better than living alone. And God designed the church to be the place to do that. This new people of Christ that he's creating, that becoming a follower of Jesus, God has placed you in a community to experience the light of the gospel in all these different ways. And when we're a part of it, when we're apart from it, we miss out on what God has designed for us and the ways to experience the gospel in community. So what steps do you need to take this morning now as we come to a close here to live in community as God has intended you for, right? One, right, don't neglect to meet together, right? That's what Hebrews told us. Commit yourself this year. This is the year I'm going to live in the body of Christ. I'm going to be in community with a church. And I'm going to be there, and I'm going to experience worship together, and I'm going to get in smaller groups where I can be accountable, and I'm going to grow in Jesus, and I'm going to experience the gospel in deeper ways as I'm a part of a church.
And be in relationship with others that can hold you accountable, and you can hold accountable. Share your sin, experience forgiveness, and grow together. Get into God's Word together. Learn about more about who God is. And give them permission to challenge you. I've used this phrase over and over, and it's hard, but it's wonderful at the same time. If you see anything in my life that would cause me to not finish this race well, would you please bring it up? Would you help me? And I'll help you. Let's grow in Christ together.
And finally, let's commit to be in this group to encourage one another. And we say this every week, right? To persevere and walk with each other as we suffer and as we rejoice, right? Let's carry each other in our burdens and let's celebrate the victories as we think about what God is doing in us through the gospel. So let's take a time just to pray now before we finish and just commit ourselves to the Lord here and what he's speaking to you about in your involvement with his body as we come into this new year. Father, I thank you right now that you created in Christ this new community of the church. Lord, that you have invited us to be a part of your family, to come into a new family where maybe we didn't have family before, maybe we were lonely apart, maybe we had a broken family, and you say, come into mine. Thank you for inviting us into this community. And Lord, we just confess this morning and realize that you have a place for us and you have a way for us to serve in this body. Father, as we come in, would you use this community to help us experience forgiveness of sin as it's pointed out in us? And as we confess it, God, would you apply the gospel and grace to us through other believers in this community? Lord, would you help us to persevere as people remind us of your promises? Lord, and help us to have trusted individuals that can speak your word into our lives. And then, Father, give us the grace to suffer with those that are suffering and help us to be humble, to rejoice with those that are being honored, God. Lord, we want to make it to the end. Lord, we know that your community is the way that you have designed that to happen. Father, would you shine your light of the gospel through this church into our hearts? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.